what you're not seeing. And one of the scriptures that I gave before our last message was 2 Corinthians 5:7, which is, we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, it's too often we can stay in faith if we see, I talked last time about the children of Israel marching around the Jericho wall. If we see cracks in the wall, if we see a little crack, you know, this, hold on. You know, we'll believe if our boss starts treating us right. We'll believe if our health starts taking a turn for the best. What we're doing is waiting for the baby to kick. We're waiting for a sign. Well, you're not going to get a sign because, as I said before, God works in secret. He works behind the scenes. You know, sometimes we're saying, Lord, show me a sign. Give me a sign that you're working. Give me a sign that you're hearing me, that, you know, what I'm saying is getting through. But there will not be a sign. You have to just stay in faith and dig your heels in and say, I'm not giving up until I see what I say. I'm not getting up off of this egg. I'm going to keep my promise alive. I'm going to do what the Lord says for me to do. So am I going to let what I'm not seeing convince me that what I'm believing for is dead? Let me say that again. Am I going to let what I'm not seeing convince me that what I'm believing for is dead? Is it too late? Is the obstacle too big? You know, am I going to do like the Israelites and keep marching, or am I going to stop and get up off the egg and say, what's the use? It's not happening. We have to keep expecting, even though we don't see a change, even though we're not getting a kicking or a sign that the promise is coming. Like the Israelites, they kept on marching and they had no sign of change, but they kept marching day after day after day, just like that eagle sat on that egg day after day after day. You keep doing the right thing, your 35th day is coming, your breakthrough is coming. Like that eagle, you know, suddenly you'll see a cracking in that egg, you'll see that shell cracking more and more, and that eagle come out. So, you know, times we can come up with 100 excuses why it's not going to work. They're too old. I'm too old. I'm the right color. I'm the wrong size. Any kind of excuse that we can. It's been too long. When is it going to change? But I don't want you to talk yourself out of the blessing that God says is yours. Keep thanking God that it's on the way. Keep believing, even when it's not happening, that it's going to happen. Just keep sitting on the egg. As I said last time we were together, sometimes you may have to yell at the enemy, I'm sticking to it. I'm sitting on my egg. I'm holding to my promise. I'm not giving up. I'm not being moved by what I'm not seeing. I am standing on the word of God. So we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are not to be moved by what we're not seeing happen. So don't walk away from the nest. Don't be discouraged because you haven't seeing a change. God is working. He is on the outside working, on the inside causing a change. So stay in faith. Hallelujah. The outside may still look like there's nothing happening, but he's working outside, inside. You may not see it, but God is working. Stay in faith, and what God promised you will definitely come to pass. Now, God told Abraham and Sarah that they're going to have a baby. Sarah was barren and couldn't have any children. So she you know, when she first heard this news, she kind of laughed. You know my age. Am I going to have a baby? But they were both too old to have children. But the Lord promised Abraham a son. But Abraham considered not the weakness of his body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider all the outside obstacles that's telling him, Abraham, I know you thought you may have heard God say that you and Sarah are going to have a child, but you're old and look at that old woman you married to. So, I mean, to him, it looks like an impossibility, but he staggered not. He considered not his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. So when Abraham listened to that promise, it looked like it was a dead promise because looking at the circumstances, it hadn't happened before. So, you know, people saying you way too old to have a child, and Sarah's just as old. You know, all the circumstances said to them, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, Abraham. I don't even know what you're talking about. Why are you telling us to call you the father of many nations? Because for one, you haven't had one child, and you are an old man. He said, I'm not being moved by what you say. I'm being moved by what the Lord says. He wasn't moved by what he saw. He wasn't moved by Sarah's age and the fact that she had been barren all these years. I mean, that's not being moved by what you don't see, because she was barren. Not like she had a child and then they had the time and space and then maybe. No, she never had a child. You may have situations in your life that look like they're dead, that they're barren, that it's not going to work. But the Lord says, He says, and he will do. You don't see how it's going to get well. You don't see how you're going to get well, how things are going to change. Not your job to see. Your job is to stand and not be moved. You know, sometimes people are wondering, well, I'm wondering when am I going to meet the right person? When I'm going to meet my mate? I've been waiting and waiting. Due season is coming. When are you going to get that breakthrough? Stop worrying about it. Due season is coming. When are you going to get a breakthrough from depression? Stop talking depression. Due season is coming. When you continue to consider the thoughts, you'll begin to get discouraged and quit believing. So you want to shut those thoughts down. When Satan comes with his lies, don't be moved, don't be stirred, don't be discouraged, don't be distracted. Due season, if you are not weary and well-doing, if you reap, you will certainly, if you're not fainting, you will reap. So don't faint, so you'll reap. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, you do. We're going to stand on the word of God, not being weary and well-doing, and we are going to reap if we faint not. Abraham considered not the circumstances, and he had a lot of circumstances to consider. But the Lord told Abraham, don't be tempted by the fact that you're old. Don't be tempted to walk away from the nest, because what I told you seems impossible to you. 25 years, Abraham and Sarah waited for this child. There was no sign that Sarah was even able to have a child, because she hadn't anyway. And then 25 years after the Lord gave them the promise, they still hadn't seen this child. That's some long not being moved by what you don't see. They didn't say, you know, well, maybe it'll happen. No, it was an impossibility. But the Lord said, okay, Abraham, now it's time for you and Sarah to have this child. 25 years they waited for this promise. While he was waiting, you know, Abraham made a mistake. You know, Sarah said, well, look, I'm too old to have a child. Maybe the Lord meant. Well, here we go, trying to help the Lord out. He said, Sarah, she was going to be the mother of many nations, not anybody else. But here she said, well, you go ahead and sleep with my handmaid. Maybe this child will be the child of the prophet. That's not. He made a mistake, and they regretted that mistake. I mean, he loved the son Ishmael, but that was not the promised child. You know, so don't get out there trying helping God when he tells you what's going to be done. You stay in your lane and let God be God, okay? 25 years, and the Lord said, okay, now it's time for you and Sarah to have the child. Hallelujah. But one thing, it's interesting to know, this had never been done before. This is the first time someone her age had a child. There was no newspaper that came out that said so-and-so was 91 years old and had a child. She couldn't Google it, you know, and say, well, this, what's the oldest age a person was that had a child. She had nothing to look back on to give her even some type of encouragement to know that this was going to happen. What they had was God's word that said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Okay? So, they had to just stand on the word of God because they had no reference. They had nothing to look back on. But it happened anyway. Things had to line up according to what the Lord says. So you may already have had some things happen in your life that people say were never going to happen. That people say, well, we never do this. Never do this. It's never going to happen. But when the Lord gets involved, people they'll change their rules and regulations just to make room for you. Why? Because you're standing on the word. You're keeping that promise, you know, alive. You're not coming off of that. You're not coming off of your age. So the first thing, you have to know as I'm going to break out of this, I'm going to have the answer that God says is mine. I'm going to believe and stand until I receive. So you be the first one to step out and become the prosperous one in the family, to have a higher level of prosperity than anybody in your family. You be the first one to have a successful business. You be the first one in your family to defeat depression. Hallelujah. You be the first one to have a successful marriage in all of your family's history. Why? Because you are breaking all the generational curses that Satan has lined up for you and your family. Why? Because I'm standing on the word of God. I'm sitting on my egg and I'm not getting off of my promise until I see what I say. But when it's never been done before, you have nothing to go on and you kind of get a little shaky. But no, stand on the word of God. You know, somebody come to you, at least you're praying for that. You see how impossible this situation looks. At least you're standing and believing it's not going to happen. Just because it hadn't happened before doesn't mean it's not going to happen. So like Abraham and Sarah, you're about to give birth to some situation that seemed impossible. They had an impossible situation, but Isaac showed up. The year the Lord said, now it's time for you to have the child. So you need to see yourself being launched out into a new business, being launched into a higher level of living, being launched into greater health and prosperity. Why? Because this is the time for your due season. And you know, some people, you want them to say, they must be walking in the favor of God. Look what's happening to them. Look how God has changed things. Yes, because their due season came to pass. You know, a lot of times people say, well, they just, you know, everything their hands touch turns to gold. But you don't know how long they were waiting, how long they were sitting on that egg, how long it took for their 35th day to show up. You don't know that. All you see is the end results. But they were standing on the word of God, not being moved by what they didn't see, not being moved by what they saw when they saw that it was failure. They didn't move. So when doubts come to your mind, say, nope, I have the favor of God on my life. I am going to have my due season. So instead of considering, you know, the obstacle in your life, how big those obstacles are, you consider how big your God is. He slung the stars into space. Hallelujah. He spoke worlds into existence. So the things that you may be facing may seem to you like they're impossible, but to God, all things are possible. You have a God that's bigger and better than anything in the universe. So believe the word of God. Stand on the word of God and don't be moved. Don't be moved by what you're not seeing, that you're not seeing the change. Don't be moved. Don't be moved. Well, I don't feel anything. Don't be moved. No matter what it is, stand on the word of God. Don't be moved by who's against you, because with God, all things are possible. He's more for you than anybody that can be against you. Don't step away from the nest. Don't step away from the egg. Don't get up off of that egg. Don't get up off of the promise that God has given you. Hallelujah. No matter what's happening, don't be moved. Don't be moved. Don't be moved. Y'all want you to hear me singing in your ear, screaming if necessary. Don't be moved by what you don't see. Hallelujah. If you're walking away from that, go back. The Lord said, go back and sit on that egg. If you walk away, you're about to miss what God has for you. You don't want to miss out. You're going to sit here until your 34th day and decide, I'm tired. I'm not going to wait any longer. No, your 35th day is coming. You're closer to your 35th day than you know. You may not see any signs, but then finally you'll see, and then suddenly, in a moment's time, you can have your 35th day. In a moment's time, you can have that end suddenly that the Lord has said for you. Here, I'm going to give you another fact about the eagles and the eggs. It says, another fact about the egg and the incubation period. The eggs also need to be turned once an hour, once 1 or 2 hours, that the egg has to be turned to make sure that the eggs are being heated evenly and so that the embryos don't stick to the sides of the shell. So you may need to turn your egg every now and then. You may need to turn your egg, your promise, with praise and thanksgiving. You may need to turn your promises with confessions. Turn that like the eagle chains that turns that egg every 1 to 2 hours. They just change to keep the position of the egg so the whole egg is heated. You may need to do the same thing with praise and thanksgiving. You turn that egg by your promise by receiving the obedient to what God it says. You don't want to kill your promise by not turning the egg with joy and with thanksgiving and praise to God. Keep your egg moving. Keep that promise that God has given you. Keep it warm. Don't get stuck in disobedience. Keep your egg with love, with joy, with expectation. Because I know, I can't see what's on the inside of that egg, but as a mother's turning, she knows everything's all right in there. I've kept this egglet at the right temperature. I've turned it every 2 hours. everything's going to be all right. You have to know, I've turned my promise. I've stood on my promise. I believe the word of God, and I know the Lord is working on my behalf. I'm going to have my 35th day. I'm going to have my unsettling. I'm going to stand, and you know, people try to close doors in your face and say, no, you know, and with the devil's help, they try to nail the door shut. But let me know, when your 35th day comes, the Lord's going to blow the door right off the hinges. No matter what they try to do, the Lord says, and he says, I'll turn it around for your good. So you don't know what's going to happen on your 35th day, but the Lord will blow that door wide open. God's going to have the right person show up with the right information that you need. You'll get this large contract from out of nowhere. Just going, Lord, how did this happen? Your business starts to increase. Hallelujah. You couldn't see what God was doing behind the scenes, but finally you start seeing your 35th day is breaking forth. Hallelujah. The mother has to keep that temperature at 105 degrees. If she doesn't, the egg doesn't develop. So she'll sit there day after day. I need you to keep your temperature on your promises where God can use you. Keep that promise. Keep your promises warm with the word of God. Keep turning that promise over and over, muttering it, confessions, believing that God is going to do what he says. Hallelujah. The same way they kept that egg warm, you have to keep your promise on. Keep up an environment. Hallelujah. Saying, Father, I thank you that what you promised me is on the way. It is coming. I'm not being moved. That promise is mine. The medical report may not be favorable, but Lord, you said in your word, you are my healer and you are restoring my healing and my health on today. Glory to God. Your business may be slow, but you said, no, Lord, you said it gives you great pleasure to bless and prosper me. That's you turning your promise. That's you keeping it warm. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that everything my hands touch must and will prosper, and I shall lend and not borrow. Sometimes the promise takes a little longer than you're hoping, but complaining will slow down the promise. Complaining will slow down the breakthrough. So that's one thing you want to do. Not the complaining. Lord, why is it taking so long? I've been standing, I believe it. I've been praying and doing whatever it is. Stop it. Stop the complaining and start the praising. Hallelujah. So you want to keep your promise in a warm environment, sitting on that promises and no complaining. Romans 4:20 said, Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham was thanking God for what he was doing, the impossible thing that he was doing. He said he staggered not at that promise. Lord gave the promise, and it shall come to pass. As I said before, though it tarries, wait on it. It will surely, hallelujah, it will surely come. And he was saying, Lord, thank you that you've made me the father of many nations. No matter what, keep your promise in a warm environment. Are you keeping it in an atmosphere of praise, in an atmosphere of faith, in an atmosphere of thanksgiving? You have to maintain the proper temperature on your promise to come to pass. We'll say, Lord, I know it's coming to pass. I know you're working on my behalf. I know change is coming. I know my 35th day is coming. I believe it, I receive it, and I expect it. Keep your promise in a warm environment. Continue to believe and don't change. If you don't see a change, you don't change. You stand on the word of God. I want you to get ready for your 35th day. I want you to know God is about to do something unusual in your life. Hallelujah. My challenge to you today is don't walk away from the nest. Don't get weary in well-doing. Keep believing when you're not, even especially when you're not seeing. Keep on believing. You will see healing. You will see promotion. You will see breakthrough. You will see favor. You will see restoration. You will see reconciliation. Hallelujah. Love and joy and peace and silence of mind. Why? Because your 35th day is coming. Don't be moved by what you don't see. Continue to stand on the word. And I wanted to get to this point for the whole 3 weeks that I've been teaching this lesson. It's in 2 Kings 4:16-37. It's talking about the Shunammite woman, and Elisha would come past her home, you know, into her town, and she built a chamber, a room off the side of her house so he can come and have a place to sleep when he was traveling in her area. So she built this chamber for him, told her husband, we have to do something for this man. man of God. Built the chamber so whenever he came by, everything was right there for him. So he said, what can I do for this woman? She said, look, I'm a woman. That means I don't need anything that, you know, I don't need you to do anything for me. But his servants Gehazi said, well, she doesn't have any children. So he said, this time next year, you'll have a child. And what she said, look, don't play with me. You know, I've been bearing all these years. Don't play with me, man of God. But he said, this time next year, you will have a child. And guess what? That time next year, she gave birth to a son. And the boy grew up, and, you know, he grew up, and he was out in the field with his dad. And he said, Dad, my head, my head, my head. And so he told one of the servants, take the boy home, take him to his mother. That's what the father says, send the kid to the mother. So he said, take him to the mother. And they took the boy to his mom, and they laid him in her arms. And in her arms, he died. And she took this baby, this son, he wasn't a baby, he's a boy because he's out working in the field, took him, carried him, and put him on the bed in Elisha's room. Shut the door. Didn't tell anybody. Nobody knew the child was dead but her. Nobody knew the promise that the Lord had given her had died. Everybody else knew the boy. You know, he was sick, he didn't feel well, but nobody knew that he was dead. She said, sent to her husband and said, send me one of your men servants and a horse, and I need to go see the man of God. He said, why are you going now to see him? She's basically what she said, mind your business, I'm going to go see the man of God. So she went to see the man of God because the boy was dead. And I'm going to pick the story up here on verse 26. I'm going to read to you. It says, right now I pray thee to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Now imagine that. Here she knows she left her child on the man of God's bed, dead. Not, or maybe he might be dying. No, he was dead. But her answer to him was, it is well. Basically saying, all's well. It's all is well. That is not being moved by what you're not seeing, because what she wasn't seeing was her child alive. What she was seeing was her son dead. But she said, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone. Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and he hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet anybody, he's saying, look, on your way, don't salute anybody, don't say anything to anybody, you just keep on trucking. He said, take my staff, take it to the boy, lay it on the boy, and then I'll be there. And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon the bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon the twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched him upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself again upon the child, and he sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. Here he went on the word of the mother that said, as well. She knew in her heart of hearts, if I could get to the man of God, if I could tell him, all is well. I'm not leaving your presence until you come with me to my house. It shall be well. It shall be well. I know it's going to be well because you're coming and you're going to deal with this situation. She said, look, I didn't ask for this child. I told you, don't play with me. I said, don't deceive me. And here this child is. And now the promise that God has given me has died. No. No, it shall be well. It's this situation and what she was saying, this situation is going to turn around. It shall be well. It's going to be well with me. It's going to be well with my son because I believe the word of God. All I can hear her saying is all is well. Even knowing back in her mind, she left her son laid on the man of God's bed, dead. Dead promise. Promise that God gave her, a dead promise. What was her answer? It shall be well. So what am I telling you? Don't be moved by what you don't see. Don't be moved by what you're not seeing. She saw and knew that her son was dead, but she wasn't moved by that. She wasn't moved by what she saw. She wasn't moved by the fact that she knew he shouldn't be alive, but he was dead. You know, she said, no, it shall be well. But she's saying, I'm going to deal with this situation. I'm going to the man of God, and I know the Lord is going to give me my child back. It shall be well. It's going to be well. But she said, I don't care. I don't care. I know he's dead. I see that. I can see with my own eyes. I felt the life leave his body because he was in my arms when he died. So it's not the fact that she could say, well, maybe he's dead. Maybe he's not dead. No, she knew he was dead. But her answer to this situation was, it shall be well. All is going to be well with me in this situation with my child because I'm not being moved. Why she shut the door and didn't let anybody in that room because she didn't want to hear anybody say, the child is dead. What are you doing? Where are you going? Why are you going to see the man of God? He's dead. She didn't want to hear any of that. She shut the door. She shut everything and everybody out. And all she kept saying, it shall be well. It shall be well. It shall be well. I need you to get to the place where you're going to say, it's whatever the situation, whatever the promise that God has for me, it shall be well. I say all is well. Whatever the situation, all is well. It's going to be well. I am going to get my breakthrough. I am going to get my answer. I am going to get total health restoration. I am going to have finances above all things. I am going to be the head and not the tail. She said, it shall be well. What are you saying about your situations? I say to you, say all is well because I'm not being moved by what I'm not seeing. I'm only being moved by the word of God that says to me, it shall be well. Don't be weary in well-doing because if you don't faint. You're going to get your in due season. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. You will reap if you faint not. What he's saying, you're going to get your breakthrough. Don't faint. You will get your breakthrough. Don't get up off that egg. You will get your breakthrough. Even though you don't feel any kicks, you don't see any change, you don't see anything changing in your situation, you will get your breakthrough. Don't be weary. Don't give up. Don't be moved by what you see. Especially, don't be moved by what you don't see. God bless.
We thank you for joining us for service today. Before we leave, we would like to give you the opportunity to know Jesus. It's as simple as ABC. I accept God and I acknowledge the sins in my life. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and I commit my life to you. If you said that simple prayer, we believe that you've been born again. Welcome to the family.
Giving is a part of your worship. Giving is a reflection of the love that you have for God. Father God, bless all that are given today. Thank you for their generosity and for answering their prayers. Amen.